Hey, good morning to you. I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Brian Kilmeade. Joining us right now, Phil Cox. He's the co-chair of TradeWorks for America. He's also a former executive director of the Republican Governors Association. Phil, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Good morning, Mary. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Mike Pence, the vice president, is scheduled to make a couple visits across southeastern Michigan today to push for the replacement for NAFTA, which is the USMCA. What is the proper pronunciation of that? Is it USMCA, or is there? Am I getting it wrong?
You might be just a little off there, Mary. It's the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement. It is a mouthful.
Yeah, I'm going to say with a name like that, it's doomed to fail. You can't replace NAFTA with the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian Agreement. Huh, they got to work on that. That's my first beef with this. Here's the thing, is I thought that we were done with this. This is Donald Trump. This is the president back in November announcing that this deal was going to replace NAFTA.
It's my great honor to announce that we have successfully completed negotiations on a brand new deal to terminate and replace NAFTA and the NAFTA trade agreements with an incredible new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement called USMCA. It sort of just works. MCA.
The president announced this in November, so why is the vice president now touring southeast Michigan trying to get this thing through? What happened between November and now?
Well, listen, Congress has a say, and as you pointed out, the president has provided real leadership and deserves great credit for putting this front and center and renegotiating NAFTA, which is now an outdated quarter-century-old trade agreement. Very happy to see the vice president hitting the trail to talk about the benefits of USMCA. I know he's in Michigan today talking about the benefits for auto workers. The fact is, the ITC report just came out this week. It shows that the USMCA will add $68 billion to the GDP, create more than 176,000 new jobs. And we are still awaiting the actual text and the language of the agreement to be sent to Congress. So this is going to be debated over the next 100 days or so. And it's critically important that we pass this trade agreement.
Now, what are the changes that the Democrats want made in this? Nancy Pelosi said that changes need to be made in the actual text of the agreement before the Democrats would consider passing this. And because of that, you have both Mexico and Canada saying that they don't want to reopen renegotiations. So if they don't want to reopen, but Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats want changes made, how do you get past that impasse?
Well, the Democrats have been communicating with the White House and detailing their concerns. They're mostly around labor and some environmental protections. Our hope is that, the Mexican lower house has passed labor enforcement standards. We believe the Senate may act this week. That has been a big sticking point for House Democrats. We think once we get past that mile marker, we think we will have good prospects for success. But our goal at TradeWorks for America is really to educate the American people and then activate them to urge their members of Congress to pass this agreement. We've had more than 50,000 Americans step up and ask Congress to pass this trade agreement in just the last 2 weeks. That pressure is going to continue. And our bet is once we go out and educate the American people about the benefits of this agreement, that you're going to see Democrats, particularly in the House, view this not only as good politics, not only as good policy, but also as good politics. And so we believe, look, this is going to play out over the next, 2 to 3 months. Our hope and expectation is that it will pass before August recess, before we really get into the political silly season and into the reelection campaign full throttle. But we've got a lot of work to do to make sure that happens.
Now, the International Trade Commission, that's the word I was looking for,
I can see it.
They're not giving this. They're not giving this a great review. They say it's only going to create about $28,000 jobs in the U.S. auto trade sector, the auto sector, and that is in contrast to the U.S. Trade Representative's projection of 76,000 new jobs. Why is there such a stark difference in the analysis of the benefits to the United States?
Well, look, I think the ITC report is just that. It's a report. It models the future. The fact is these economies, Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., they're dynamic. It's one of the reasons why we need this agreement. It's a NAFTA's 25 years old. The economy today is very different than it was in 1994. The fact is this agreement opens up markets for American products. It will increase exports. It will allow American workers to compete on a more level playing field with Mexico and Canada. And importantly, Mary, it's reviewed every 6 years to make sure we continue to put the interests of American workers first. So if you're a California almond grower or a Wisconsin dairy farmer or a Detroit auto worker or a truck driver or working on an oil rig in the Gulf, the fact is this is a good deal for you. And it's time for Congress to really put partisanship aside, forget about the excuses, and put American workers first. This is a common sense agreement. I think we've seen candidly that both labor and business wanted more out of this deal, which in my view means this is a balanced agreement.
Is this also a good deal for Mexico and Canada?
I think it is, because I think any time, again, NAFTA's 25 years old, and their economies have changed just like ours. It's outdated. I think any time you have a more level playing field, any time American workers benefit, I think Mexican and Canadian industries are also going to benefit. This agreement, for the first time, has protections for small business. So if you're in the supply chain and you're a small manufacturer in the U.S., in Canada, in Mexico, you have important protections you've never had in the past. I think this agreement will be a model for future trade agreements going forward. So I think, you know, this is something, again, we've negotiated. The president has provided great leadership on. We're not going to reopen those negotiations. This is going to be once the legislation is sent up to the Hill. The Congress has 90 legislative days in which to act, and I believe you're going to see passage, particularly as more members of Congress hear from their constituents as to why this agreement is good for the American worker.
You just said something that interests me. You said it will protect small businesses. How would an international agreement protect a small mom and pop shop somewhere? Are those the type of small businesses we're talking about?
Yeah, you're looking at manufacturers really in the supply chain. Most of the time we've negotiated trade agreements, we've been looking at large industries, and this one certainly does that. If you're if you're in the energy sector or you're in the pharmaceutical sector, or certainly if you're in the agricultural sector, you're going to benefit because it opens up new markets. But this agreement has, and I don't want to get into the technical weeds, but it is, for the first time, it actually has provisions that look at small business. And that's been one of the complaints about NAFTA. NAFTA, we lost a lot of mom and pop shops. And I think this agreement, for the first time will actually, ensure that, that there are some protections for the small business. And that's why, look, Democrats in Congress, they may not have a large political incentive nationally to support a White House initiative. But our view is that really all politics is local. And once they hear from their constituents, once they're hearing from those small business people, they're gonna look at this and say, look, we have plenty that we can fight about in Washington, D.C. This is a good agreement for us. Let's go ahead and pass this.
Phil, can you just very quickly just sum up for us exactly what the Democrats are objecting to and what happens if this doesn't pass?
Yeah, I mean, the labor standards, wage provisions, so making sure that there's a level playing field on minimum wage in the three countries, And look, if it doesn't pass, I don't even want to think about that. I think, you know, the economy has been humming. We've created, you know, 2 million new jobs thanks in large part to tax and regulatory reform. We've made real progress. No agreement would erase all the gains we've made and could cost the economy up to 2 million jobs. We simply cannot afford to go backwards. And I take the president at his word. He said he'll tear it up, and no North American trade agreement would be an economic disaster.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see where this goes. And I think the idea of making sure that people in Mexico are making the same minimum wage as people in the United States and Canada, kind of a little ridiculous. It sounds like the Democrats want to rob this president of a win. That's what this sounds like. So it's going to be very interesting to see if they are successful. Phil Cox, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Mary, thank you.
That's Phil Cox, co-chair of TradeWorks for America, former executive director of the Republican Governors Association. I'm Mary Walter. More coming up on The Brian Kilmeade Show.